it. I thumbed off the Rodian lightsaber and asked, I don't suppose Ha'ulik brought anything else home with him, like a handy step-by-step manual on how to train yourself to become a Jedi? No, nothing like that, unfortunately. I would have attempted it myself, had that been the case, even though I can't feel the Force. Well, I'm very grateful for this much. I turned the lightsaber hilt over in my hands, thinking. You said he was shot by his own clone troopers?
That was what his recording said. We, of course, had no way to confirm it. Asking the local garrison of troopers if someone may have shot a Rodian Jedi Knight off-planet would attract the wrong sort of attention. But it's stunning in its implications, isn't it? Looked at in that light, it might have been the Jedi who were betrayed, not the Emperor.
Not for the first time. I wished I'd had more time with Ben. Not only could he have taught me about the Force, but he could have filled in many giant gaps in my knowledge regarding the history of the Clone Wars. The Empire's version of events was undoubtedly self-serving, but there was no alternative version of events available. My aunt and uncle would never talk to me about it, no matter how much I begged them. I felt handicapped by my ignorance. You've given me a lot to think about. That is, if I can get us out of here. Even if Sunta were to leave me here to go get help, she'd need to get on her speeder bike safely. And there was no guarantee she could do that. If the guest was still waiting in the swamp, it could easily pounce before she could take off. We needed to remove the threat before either of us tried to mount the speeder bike. I withdrew my own lightsaber from my belt, walked forward to the edge of the island, one weapon in each hand, and turned them both on. I crouched to minimize myself as a target as I advanced, holding the lightsabers parallel to the ground and angled to protect each side of me so that I was at the base of a triangle. The guest would have to be extremely fast and agile to take me out without getting cut. The problem was, and it looked like it might actually be that fast and agile. The dark water gave no sign of the guest's whereabouts, only a promise that it hit a food chain within its depths and I was not at the top of it. Just stepping near the water made me feel like something's lunch. Insects and birds and amphibians continued to drone and chirp and croak, heedless of my problems. But their noise existed on another level than auditory. When I stretched out with my feelings and tried to locate the guest through the Force, all I got was an overwhelming sense of the life surrounding me. Nothing so specific as a single bird or fish or predator. I knew that many of the creatures were hungry and wanted to eat other creatures, but there was no sense that a certain one wished to eat me. There I stood, shifting my weight a bit and moving slightly to look alive, lightsabers humming, for 5 full minutes. Maybe it's moved on, I finally said. How about you try taking the remaining speeder back? I'll guard you as you get on and come back to pick me up. Sunta said, I suppose. And then the guest erupted from the swamp on my left. A flash of movement faster than I could track. By reflex, I whipped the blade in my left hand toward it, while simultaneously falling backward and swinging a fraction later with my right hand as well. Both swings connected, but the guest connected too. Its head got above and through my awkward defenses, and it sank its teeth into the soft tissue between my left shoulder and my neck. It didn't bite through or try to move up to my throat, however. By the time we hit the ground, its head and shoulders weren't connected to the rest of the body. The swing I'd taken with my lightsaber had shorn through entirely, leaving me alive, but with a dead guest's teeth buried in my flesh. Sunta rushed over to help. Are you all right? She asked.
I'll live,
I think. Most people don't survive being attacked, so that was well done. The soggy head affixed to my body didn't make me feel like a winner. Ugh! It wasn't really a skill thing. More like panicked reflexes and really good weapons. You were right. There's no way I would have gotten off a blaster shot in time. I thumbed off the lightsabers and shook a little bit from adrenaline and the thought of how close I'd come to death. A couple of centimeters more and the guest would have had my throat, and I would have bled out regardless. The guest's jaws hadn't locked up, so prying it loose was more painful than difficult.
"We need to get you to the infirmary," Sunta said, tossing the head into the swamp before helping me to my feet.
The guest's long, serpentine body trailed off into the water, a greenish log that ended in blood on the rock.
"The sooner the better. Limping into town doubled up on the speeder will be a bit faster than going back for another one and returning."
She took hollows of the damaged speeder and the guest's body with her data pad before we left.
"I need to explain what happened if I don't want to have my pay docked."
We crowded onto the remaining speeder. I wrapped my right arm around Sunta's waist and did my best to deal with her personal pungency. I knew that later I'd look back on the experience and count it as a good one on the whole, because there was no telling what I could learn from Ha'ulik's lightsaber. But at the time, feeling weak and lightheaded from blood loss, foul smells, and excessive humidity, I thought that was the worst speeder ride ever.